right. Would you turn with me to James chapter 4 if you're not there already? James chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you to just keep that open. We're going to be looking at quite a number of passages of Scripture. However, we will come back from time to time to James chapter 4. I'd like to mention at the outset of this message that I preached a message similar to this one about a year and a half ago. And despite the recent nature of this message, the Lord kept bringing me back to the need to cover this and two other basic issues on a regular basis because they are so important for every Christian to get victory over them. This is actually the first of three messages dealing with basic issues that cause problems for you and others around you. As I have spent countless hours studying God's word, there are certain things that become increasingly apparent. One of these truths that has impressed itself over and over on my heart is that the greatest hindrance to spiritual growth in a Christian is pride. Pride. I firmly believe that pride and selfishness are two twin monsters that have done more to destroy people, marriages, other relationships, and churches than all the rest of the sins put together, mainly because pride and self-centeredness give rise to just about every other sin. If you have your Bible open to our main text for this message, would you follow along in your Bible as I read it aloud for us? James chapter 4, verse 6, "But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Perhaps I'd better clear up the difference between two kinds of pride as the word is used in English. Many languages have two different words for these two kinds of pride. The sinful pride that we're going to examine in this message is the sinful pride that I believe is found in the French word orgueil or arrogance. The non-sinful kind of pride, I believe, is found in the French word fierté. However, since I'm not a French speaker, I'm just learning it. Who knows? Maybe I'm getting it all wrong. Anybody want to add? Yes, no, you got it wrong. Yes? Okay, we're good. Okay, hey, good. If I'm understanding the French right, then this is the pride used in the expression de fierté. Okay, that's the kind of pride used in the expression, son, I'm so proud of you for doing the right thing. In any case, our study this morning is about the sinful kind of pride or arrogance, the opposite of humility. The vast majority of time, the word or concept pride is used in Scripture, it refers to sinful pride. So whenever you see the word pride in Scripture, you can almost guarantee that it means the sinful kind of pride. Notice what God points out about sinful pride in just the sampling from the book of Proverbs. So if you want to just kind of turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to go through a few chapters, just a verse at a time, and notice these verses. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Who's speaking here? God. So God hates pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. And insolence is a pride that comes out in actions and words. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Proverbs 28, verse 25, an arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. As you can see here, at least in the New American Standard translation, pride, the bad kind of pride, can have many synonyms like insolence and haughtiness and arrogance. And so all of those are types of pride or how they manifest themselves. So in order to deal scripturally with your pride, you must first remember who the author of pride is, Satan. Notice this indirect portrayal of him in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Would you turn there in your Bible and see it with your eyes as you hear me read it? Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? Obviously, this is referring to a particular mortal ruler at that time, but there is much that shows that he was very, very much like Satan, or Satan was possessing him. Pride comes from focusing on self. Did you notice the I wills in these verses? Notice the five I wills in this passage. Let me go back and read verses 13 and 14. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So notice that pride comes from focusing on self. I. Pride produces rebellion against God, as we see in the second part of verse 14. Pride causes you to think that you know better than God. When you find yourself saying, but after reading a command or declaration in the Bible, then you very likely are thinking, but I think there's a better way than what God says here. Be very careful when you have the impulse to, even in your mind, say, but after what God says in His Word. Be careful. There's pride behind that. Instead of humbly realizing that you don't know everything and that God is omniscient, all-knowing, you are assuming somehow God missed a fact. Actually, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future just as He knows the past and the present. Not only that, God is fully in control of everything because He is omnipotent. His power is infinite and He is sovereign. Does God allow evil to take place in this present world? Yes, He does that for an ultimate good purpose, as He assures us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let me read that for us again. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for, what's the next word? Good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If you don't believe the truth of this verse, you are in effect calling God a liar and believe that either He is not omniscient or not omnipotent or not loving. Which means you are blaspheming His character. Think about that carefully. Now you see why recognizing that Satan is the author of pride shows you who you are imitating when you allow pride to control your attitudes, your thoughts, your words, your actions, choices. Imitating Satan reveals the fact that you are in rebellion against God. So we see that pride comes from focusing on self. Pride produces rebellion against God. And thirdly, pride brings eventual destruction. Just as we read in Isaiah 14, verse 15, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. So remember that Satan is the author of pride. In order to deal scripturally with pride, you must secondly recognize the manifestations of pride in your life. Pride is thinking yourself to be something when actually we all are nothing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. By the way, be careful as you read this verse. Don't twist it to say, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, but I am not nothing. See what I'm saying? You may think you only don't think you're something if you happen to be nothing. But if you're not nothing, then it's okay to think you're something. You understand what I'm saying? You see how easy it is to twist what the scripture says here? No, the scripture is saying, for if anyone thinks he is something, when actually all of us are nothing, he deceives himself. So please understand that this fallen world is following Satan as its God, little g o d. Whether it knows it or not, this world is following Satan as its God by virtue of its rebellion against the true God. Therefore, this fallen world has swallowed all of Satan's lies. And it's no wonder then that this world has bought into Satan's lie that pride is a good thing. How many have ever heard expressions that really give you the impression that pride is a good thing? You ever heard that? Okay, yeah. Please don't get confused by the current psychological propaganda. That false teaching says that you need a good self-image. How many have heard that one? Okay. In order to be useful and function well in society and be comfortable with yourself so that you can help others. The truth of the matter is that God, who created us and ought to be trusted to know us better than we do, has clearly explained in his word that the real problem is always too much self-esteem, not a lack of self-esteem, because self-esteem is built into our hardware, so to speak. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. That is the norm. However, there are some hurting individuals who, because of wrong influences or abusive situations, respond to these influences or circumstances by hurting themselves physically, whether by starving themselves or cutting themselves or other ways of harming themselves. But some do these things not because they hate themselves, but because they hate that their body doesn't look like they think they deserve. For others in abusive situations, they starve or harm themselves in order to draw less attention from abusive persons. But all these harmful things they do to themselves, even suicide, have an ultimate aim to escape their current situation. I remember there was a man who's now with the Lord. He was a brother of one of the ladies who attended our church there in Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. And this lady told me, I've got a brother who really is talking about suicide. Can you talk to him? I said, sure, I'll talk to him. And so I went over to his where he was staying with his sister. And he had divorced his wife. He was divorced from his wife. His wife divorced him because of his behavior. He was really badly diabetic, and because he ignored all the things he was supposed to do to control diabetes, he had ended up losing both his legs. He was amputated. And so he was just mad, and also just talking suicide every day. As I took counseling courses in my master's program, one of the things that we were always taught to do is to find out whether this is just trying to get attention or whether they really are suicidal. And so I talked to him, and all the things that he said showed me that he really was suicidal. And he would say things like, "I hate myself." And I would tell him, "No, you don't." He looked at me like, "Where are you coming from? Of course, I hate myself." I said, "No, you don't." And he said, "What do you mean?" I says, "Well, look, here's what it says in the Bible." And I read him that verse that I just read to you. "No man ever yet hateth his own body." And so I said, "The reason you're talking like that is because you actually love yourself." He's like, "What?" I said, "Yes. Because if you really hated yourself, you would say, 'Yes, my legs are cut off. Yes. And I'm going to die soon. Yes.' You would be saying, you would be very happy because you hate yourself. But no, actually, you love yourself. And that's why you're upset, and why you're mad, why you want to get out of this world that's not treating you the way you think you deserve to be treated." He looked at me and dropped his jaw, and he says, "You're right." Well, praise the Lord. I've got to lead him to the Lord after that. But the point is this, that no one ever hates himself if they talk about hating themselves and wanting to commit suicide. And he really was. He was planning for it. He had everything laid out. He knew what he was going to do to commit suicide. The reason is because they want to escape the things that they don't believe they deserve. And so they want to check out of this world. So if they truly hated themselves, they would rejoice in the abuse they were receiving, not to try to escape from it. So what God states in Ephesians 5:29 is still true. Before I leave this subpoint, I ought to mention here that there are some individuals, usually women, who are in a toxic relationship where the husband or boyfriend verbally abuses her and belittles her to the point that she starts believing his toxic lies. Here, the solution for her is, first of all, to get out of that toxic relationship and then choose to believe God's promise that he loves her and cares for her. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him, on Christ, because he cares for you. The important truth for this woman is not that she should believe she is great, but that God's love is great. And she's worth loving because God loves her. Everything I've said about a woman in a toxic relationship equally applies to a child who has an abusive parent. The difference is that a child cannot get out of that family unless he or she tells someone in authority what is happening and can ask for help. So, having said all that, humility, the opposite of pride, is not a groveling in the dust or putting yourself down. The fact is, true humility is a forgetting of yourself. There is no preoccupation with yourself at all. It is a realistic agreement with God that without Him, we can do nothing. But with His enablement, we can do anything He commands in His word. John chapter 15, verse 5, the Lord Jesus said, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." But in Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me," and him is referring to Christ there. So pride is thinking ourselves to be something when actually, apart from God, we are nothing. Secondly, pride will adapt itself to your personality. Recognize how pride works in you so that you can combat it by the Holy Spirit's enablement. After all, if you don't recognize the enemy, you can't fight it. In some personalities, it shows up as blatant arrogance. No one enjoys being around an arrogant person. In others, it shows up as false humility. In other words, putting yourself down in order to get a compliment in return. Actually, what's happening is this person is trying to put himself at the forefront of the conversation and the attention of others. In some personalities, it shows up as a critical attitude. The critical attitude sort of gives the idea that I know everything and I need to straighten you out. In some personalities, it shows up as smugness or unteachableness or stubbornness. I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. I need nothing. That kind of an attitude. In some personalities, it shows up as oversensitivity. Your feathers get ruffled easily, as the expression goes. Your feelings are hurt easily. Actually, it's your pride that is easily hurt. In some personalities, it shows up as self-promotion and self-preoccupation. Let me tell you what I've done or what I can do. It's interesting that I've heard expression. You ever heard the expression braggamony? Anybody heard that expression? It's where if you get an opportunity to give your testimony, they're actually just bragging. And this is that kind of personality, self-promotion, self-preoccupation. This kind of person will not be as loud and brash as the arrogant person, but he loves to talk about himself. The end result of all these is the same. There is still a focus on self. So, in order to scripturally overcome your pride, you must first remember who the author of pride is, Satan. Secondly, you must recognize the customized manifestations of pride in your life, your personality. Thirdly, you must realize the destructive nature of pride in your life. It destroys relationships. It will destroy your right relationship with God, first of all. James chapter 4, verse 6, our text. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. In fact, why don't you turn there, but keep your place in James 4. 1 Peter 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Does that sound like a familiar phrase there? It's James chapter 4, verse 6. By the way, James chapter 4, verse 6 is probably one of the first New Testament books written, or James, the book of James, one of the first New Testament books written. But here, Peter is quoting that. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Notice here, God will oppose you. This is actually frightening and awful thing. Oppose, or if you have the King James Version, resist, translates the Greek word antitasoman, which means to range in battle against an enemy. God will range himself in battle against you. If that doesn't frighten you, it should. God will not give you the grace that you so desperately need. After all, you don't think that you need his grace if you're proud. You're not even going to ask for it. But God will not give you grace, his enablement to do right when you're proud. Pride will slowly destroy your relationships with your family members. In my years of counseling couples and families, I find men especially have a problem with pride because of their position as head of the home. God made men different than women. Everybody understand that? If you understand that, raise your hands. Okay. God made men and women different. Okay. He made man with a different kind of brain. He made women with a different kind of brain. God did that on purpose for a good purpose. Men, because they have that leadership built into them, they have not learned the importance of being a loving servant leader instead of a dictator. Pride, however, is not exclusively reserved for men. Wives, be careful that pride manifesting as a critical attitude, as unteachableness, as stubbornness, as oversensitivity, does not keep you from being the blessing in the home that God intends. Be careful that this kind of pride does not keep you from being the blessing in the home that God intends you to be. Pride causes husbands and wives and parents and children to act and speak selfishly and keeps them from getting things right with each other when there are disagreements and problems in the home. Oh, listen, if you want to follow the Lord here, if you want to truly be humble as God wants you to be humble, then you will recognize where you've done wrong instead of trying to rationalize how you have not done wrong. It's interesting. There's this expression I learned in French, "Ce n'est pas ma faute." Anybody heard that one? Okay. It's not my fault. Okay. This is our natural reaction. Our natural reaction is somehow to defend ourselves and say, "Whoa, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong." And God wants us to be willing to see, to recognize where we've done wrong, where we've missed it, where we made an error, and to go to Him for forgiveness, first of all, and then go to anybody else that you've affected and apologize to them. Actually, I don't use the word apologize very often at all because you miss the point. You get to someone, you say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me. I sinned against you, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" That's how we ought to treat one another. And those who have been wronged should be going back to that person and saying, "I forgive you, just like God forgave me. And so therefore, I forgive you." Pride will, first of all, destroy your right relationship with God. Secondly, pride will destroy your right relationship with family members. Thirdly, pride will harm your relationships with other Christians. Many believers in the church in Corinth were fleshly and proud, and that was the source of divisions and factions in that church. Pride destroys love in the marriage relationship, in the home, and in the church. Pride destroys unity in the marriage, home, and in the church. Fourthly, pride will harm your relationships with the unsaved. It will turn them away from the gospel. It will provide them an excuse for rejecting Christ because they will not see Christ in you if you're allowing pride to rule your heart, your mouth, your attitude. You will not be displaying Christ's likeness. Oh, how it hurts my heart when I see someone who is proud, who is basically approaching an unsaved person like the Pharisees approached people in Jesus' day. "God, I am more righteous than everybody else. I tithe, I do this, I do that." That's basically what the Pharisees were saying in Jesus' day. Wow, that does not win anybody to Christ. Listen, unless you are humble, you will not be winning anybody to Christ. Finally, pride will have a destructive effect on you, yourself, on your choices, your decisions of life. You'll make wrong choices, which will have bad consequences. And I could spend half an hour on giving you personal examples of that that I've seen, or even ones that I've made. And I tell you with a heart that's full of love for you and concern for you, don't let pride rule your life. You will end up in the wrong place. So in order to deal scripturally with your pride, you must first remember that Satan is the author of pride. Secondly, you must recognize the manifestations of pride in your life according to your personality. You must realize the destructive nature of pride in your life, which should fourthly and finally bring you to renounce the sin of pride in your heart. First of all, humble yourself before God. I read this before, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. But he gives a greater grace enablement. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Renouncing pride in your heart begins and ends with submitting to God's will and God's way. Resist the devil, who's the author of pride. Draw near to God in prayer, meditating on his word. Focus on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Repent and forsake sin in your actions, your attitudes, and your words. In every area of your life, repent and forsake sin. Realize and sorrow over the destructiveness and grievousness of your sin. Truly hate sin itself, not just its unpleasant consequences. Not only must you humble yourself before God, you must humble yourself daily. Examine yourself. And especially whenever pride manifests itself in your life. It is a command from God and therefore can be obeyed by his enablement, his grace. Whenever God commands you to do something, don't look at it and say, well, I don't know if I can do that. No, the response is, Lord, I can't do it, but you can do it through me. I'm trusting you to enable me to do it. I need your grace, your enablement, but I want to obey you. Examine yourself at the end of each day and honestly recognize and confess to God the manifestations of pride that we discussed earlier, whether blatant arrogance or false humility or a critical attitude or smugness or unteachableness, stubbornness, or oversensitivity, or self-promotion, or self-preoccupation. Whatever it may be, not only is humbling yourself a command from God that can be obeyed by his enablement, it is a permanent and long-term decision you make in which you recognize your need to humble yourself, and after which you set out to change your way of thinking and your resulting actions and words as you depend on God for his name. Begin by just talking to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need to learn humility. I understand that humility is forgetting myself, not putting myself down because then my focus is still on self, but rather forgetting myself, focusing on you and focusing on others, how I can be a blessing to others. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. In just a moment, we'll close this message in prayer. But before I do that, would you allow the Holy Spirit to show you where you need to change your thinking? Christian, perhaps he's showing you an area of your life where pride is manifesting itself. Perhaps in blatant arrogance or a controlling kind of attitude where you want to control others because you believe your way is the best way. But more likely, most of you might be having trouble with a critical attitude or smugness or stubbornness or false humility or oversensitivity or self-promotion. Don't analyze anyone else. No, don't look at that person. Don't think about that person. Look at yourself. Honestly say, Lord, thank you for exposing my pride and helping me to recognize it, how it manifests itself in me. I repent of my pride. Take care of it now. Would you talk to the Lord? Would you ask him to forgive you for your pride and ask him for his enablement to humble yourself? Perhaps you're listening to this message and you would have to honestly admit that you are not 100% sure that if you were to die today, next week, or next year, that all of your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven, that you have eternal life. But you would like to make sure. Friend, the Bible clearly shows us how to make sure. I would love to help you make sure of salvation if you would allow me to take the Bible and show you God's simple plan of salvation in Christ. If God is speaking to your heart about this matter, would you at least allow me to pray for you in this closing prayer? If you're here in the auditorium, just raise your hand and put it down after I see it. If you're on Zoom or are listening later on our website, would you contact me by texting or email so that I can pray for you and help you? I urge you to talk with me so that I can help you to come to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us of the wicked sin of pride that many of us ignore because it manifests itself differently in us, perhaps in someone else. We can recognize pride in someone else, but we so often don't recognize it in ourselves. Lord, I pray with what we have covered today from your word that you would convict where we need to be convicted. Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to renounce pride in every form and humble ourselves, submit ourselves to you, and trust you to use us to be a blessing to others and a testimony for Christ. For it's in Christ's name that we pray.